Today on Growing Through Grace.
In my own strength, I can't deal with anything I'm facing. I've heard the old anger thing, just count to 10. Say nothing out loud, but just boil with it. Or you could say, Lord, change my heart. I want to love my enemy. I want to forgive those who hurt me. I want to be more like you.
Listening to Growing Through Grace with Pastor Jack Abelin of Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California. And as we get back to our study from last time in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23, we'll join Pastor Jack with that all-important question, what is the Christian life without the Holy Spirit? In this passage, Paul is reminding us that we indeed have the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We'll back up just a bit into yesterday's study and join our teacher for the conclusion of this message. Here's Pastor Jack.
That's the difference, isn't it? You got saved, God moved into your life. You became His habitation. He's the one that you now look to and depend upon. He is, what is Psalm 94? It says, the Lord is great and to be praised, feared above all other gods who are nothing more than idols. Not our God. He is in the heavens, and strength and beauty belong to Him. So before Paul switched subjects, he said, here's one more thing you have. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And you should know very well the unlimited power that He can do in your life, working and having more than He needs to take care of you. It's amazing what God can do. I mean, you read through the scriptures and you begin to just say, well, only God can change a life. What did Jeremiah said? Can an Ethiopian change his spots? No. Can't change my character, but God can change my very nature. What did Paul say to the Corinthians? If any man's in Christ, new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything's become new. That's what God can do. That's what God has done. Look at the heart of Saul, who became Paul, or the life of Peter. Peter went from great self-confidence to a bold preacher to a humble brother. Ask the demoniac there in chapter 5 whose life was tormented, but the Lord came to save. He was so excited, he said, Lord, I'll just go with you everywhere. And the Lord said, go home and tell everybody what I've done for your life. Look at John, the son of thunder, who in Luke chapter 9, wanted to call fire down from heaven because no one would give him a hotel room. Ended up becoming the father or the apostle of love. Would write in his own handwriting, and again, he's older in life now, but he writes, beloved, let us love one another. Love's of God, and if everyone who loves is born of God, he knows God. Here's the evidence. You should know tonight that the Holy Spirit in you can accomplish what you cannot. And you should hang on to Him and look to Him to do just that very thing. So what keeps us from connecting to Him then? He's available. He's dwelling in us. At least at some level. Jesus said to the boys that in the garden that night before His betrayal, or that night of His betrayal, the flesh is willing, or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But if you're willing, Lord, change me. Lord, mold me. Lord, open the doors in my life. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his second letter, I pray always that you would understand and be worthy of the calling of God upon your life and fulfill all good pleasure of His goodness and that work of faith and His power. If you're just willing, God is more than willing to begin to do a work in you. It just doesn't work when I face the weaknesses of my life and somehow I try to do what only He can do. So, you know, the old, my dad used to say, you just got to knuckle down, but that doesn't work. I can't fix it. Pastor Chuck used to say, I lit in with a bit of a grin. You know, I just tried, but I came up empty. Yet in the Lord, I have these unbelievable resources. Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. God's building your life. This is your resource. Verse 19 ought to be a memory verse. I know it's a difficult one to memorize, but it's there. It's God's power made available to you. Paul in Damascus laid out on the road is a pretty good example. Self-made, self-assured, lying in the dirt, finally broken. He said, what do you want me to do, Lord? In my own strength, I can't deal with anything I'm facing. You heard the old anger thing? Just count to 10. Run around the block. Say nothing out loud, but just boil within. Or you could say, Lord, change my heart. I want to love my enemy. I want to forgive those who harm me. I want to be more like you. Religion, without the Holy Spirit, demands procedures and steps and rules and determination from you and much, much more. And yet it leaves you outside unavailable and powerless. The Holy Spirit comes to live in me. I now become his dwelling place. His home, as we read in Ephesians later on. He changes me from the inside out. And I have in him more than I need. He's not just pushed to the brink to try to take care of you. You're easy. He has plenty left to deal with your life. How good is that? What a promise from God. Is that for us? More than we need to deal with in my life. If you look around here, the sanctuary has lots of plugs. All of these circuits for all these lights are all on different circuits. The sound as well. I mean, everything that's glowing in here has power. But if we don't throw the switch, we could just sit here in the dark. We have power. We're just not connected. And I think that's the problem for us, because God makes great promises, but if we sit idly by and don't appropriate them, we find ourselves almost not only weak, but complaining that God didn't do what he said. But he will do what he said. He has the resources. I just have to somehow come to the point where I surrender to him. Peter, in his second epistle, chapter 1, verse 3, he said this, he has given to us by his divine power everything that pertains to life and godliness. He said to the Colossians, to this end I strive according to his power, which is working in me mightily. I strive, he works. I line myself up with what God wants, and then I look to him to do the work. It's like the fellow who had the hand that was lame, and the Lord said, stretch it out. On the one hand, he's got no power. On the other hand, he wants to do what God says because he wants to be healed. So whatever it takes inside, I'll try, and the Lord will do the rest. This is the power that God has given to his people, to the church. The Holy Spirit has sealed you, guaranteed you of an eternal redemption, is at work in you abundantly in the present tense to bring fruit into your life and the power of his Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. But we have to know it well enough to turn to him at every situation and acknowledge that he's the one that we need. His power is available. Notice verse 19, to those who believe. To those who believe. When Jesus there in Mark 11 said, have faith in God, whoever says to this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea, no doubt in his heart believes all that he says, it shall be done. Whatever things when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Now that's not a war between, you know, I want what I want, and if I get to a level of believing enough, God will have to do what I say. But it does say this, come to believe what God tells you. come to believe what he has said. Hang on to what he has promised. That same powerful Holy Spirit that is available for us, verse 20, was the one who raised Jesus from the dead and by whom Jesus ascended into heaven and then sat down at the place of authority on the right hand of the Father on the throne of God. That's exactly what verse 20 says. Know what his power is, the power that we watched when Jesus was raised from the dead and then ascended into heaven. How great is God's power? How about the resurrection? Is that good enough for you? He can resurrect you. I think as Paul wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 6, God has both raised up the Lord and will also raise you up in power. His victory over death, his victory over the grave, was accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that lives in you tonight. So when you go, I don't know if I can have victory over this, okay. It's because you don't believe what he says. He's promised. It's interesting that when your spirit leaves your body is dead. And yet we have technology now. We can keep you alive, breathing, your heart ticking for years if we want. But what causes the spirit to leave the body and then for Jesus to bring it back again? Those are all God's domain things, right? You can't do that. He does that. So Paul writes to the Romans, the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This is a big argument. Unless you think you're powerless or I can't do it or I'm so weak and I'm not sure what God can do. Or for me, I can't teach. I can't stand up here. I can't, but he can. If you go home tonight and say, man, the Lord spoke to me, you can't credit me, but I can credit him, and so can you, because that's his promise to us, helpful to us. It was Jesus who said there in John, a little longer, and the world will see me no more, but you'll see me because I live, you'll live. Raised from the dead, which ought to at least have you concluding there's nothing in your life, no problem, no attitude, no difficulty that he can't fix. I hear people sometimes say, and they're usually not believers, they'll say, oh, I guess all we can do now is pray. Which sounds a little bit fatalistic, doesn't it? Well, we've tried everything we can. I guess we'll just let the Lord handle it now if he wants. So it kind of belies your understanding of the scriptures. All we can do now is pray. There's no character trait in your life. There's no sinful tendency in your life that God can't deliver you from. His resurrection power lives in you. And I got to look to him to enable me. And in many ways, raise me from the deadness of sin and from my lack of faith and the weakness of my flesh. God's forever raising me up somewhere. You too. As much as I'm disappointed in my own life so often, I'll tell you what, the longer you're saved, the worse you look. When I was 18 and got saved, I thought, I'll have this thing figured out in a year. I'll be like the best Christian ever. But the longer you hang around, the more you get to see of how ugly you are and how good he is. So with every year that passes, I look worse. But he looks better. And I'm convinced that he can keep me and finish in me what he began. He'll raise me up. Not only did he rise, but he ascended into heaven and now sits in a place of absolute authority. For 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ministered to his own. But then he promised to send them the Holy Spirit so that they might continue the work that he began. So in chapter 10, we read that God anointed Jesus with the Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. And I would say this to you now. God is with you now. We're continuing the work. When Luke began his second letter to his friend Theophilus, he said, look, I wrote you the first letter about all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The work continues, even to this day. Now Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. In fact, I think it's in chapter 1 of Hebrews where the Lord said, to which of the angels has he proclaimed, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool? One day he's coming again. It's all going to belong to him. But we have that power now. And we shouldn't forget it. For now, Jesus is sending the Holy Spirit to us as he sits to make intercession for us. And if Jesus is interceding for me, what do I have to worry about? Now, you may say to me, hey, I'm going to pray for you. And I might go, I hope you do. But you may not. And maybe you're in a place where your prayers aren't going to do me much good. But Jesus prays for me. I think we'll be all right. Put in a good word with the Father for me. All right, excellent. He intercedes for me. For me. Who is he that condemns if Christ died and he's risen and he sits at the right hand of God making intercession for you? Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? He sits in the place of authority above all, and he's in absolute control, and he can handle all the issues of your life. Verse 21 says this, he sits far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now, these are rankings. You find them often in the scriptures. The word principalities literally means top leaders. The word powers is a word for delegation. It means those who've been placed in authority. The word might means strength. The word dominion is the typical Greek word for governments. So nothing and no one can hinder God from helping you. Nothing and no one. He's the one that has sent the Lord. Jesus is above all the rankings of men and of angels, and he's placed there by the power of the Holy Spirit, who he now sends to you to have victory in this life. You're pretty blessed, aren't you? You have a lot going for you. As long as you can plug in and not be unplugged. Verse 22 says, and he has put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's sovereign. He's the Lord. He's in charge. There's always this living connection between your head and your body. Can't really have one without the other. It's a picture that the Lord uses a lot. He's the Lord. You're the body. Holy Spirit's kind of like the nervous system, right? He carries that strength and that power from the head. You can't have one without the other. You can't have a bridegroom, not really complete, without a bride. You can't have a vine without the branches. You can't have a head without a body. So you are his body to carry forth his work. You're an extension of his work. He saved. Now you're going to go tell, and you're going to walk with God, and he's going to change you. If you have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. The word mispronounced is the word supernike. That's exactly what the word is in Greek, supernike. It literally means more than conquer. Satan would love to draw you into battles in the flesh where he's strong and you're not. But you hang around with Jesus and rely on his power, and that's where the Lord is strong and Satan is defeated. The key is, and that's Paul's, I think, concern in this first chapter, that you and I understand our resources, what God has done, what God will do, but in the present tense, what God is doing. And that we appropriate by faith all that he has given us to do. His power is my hope. The Holy Spirit came and made Jesus known to me. He then moved into my heart. He began to change me. Not done with me. Every year, I think he's slow, not very deliberate, but God continues to work. God's no quitter. He's here to do a work in you. And Paul ends this first chapter by, before he turns to grace, he says at the last year, I'm just praying that the Lord can show you what an unbelievable attachment you can have to the Lord and how able he is to do what you think you can't. And what you sometimes write God off as saying, he can't either. You know, sometimes we equate God in his strength to what we can do. If we can't do it, he can't do it. We'll say, hey, pray for this man. He's got cancer. You go, oh, all right, I'll ask. I got a headache. Can you pray for me? You go, oh, that'll be amen, Lord. You see, I'm with the headache. God, I can handle that. But that cancer, I don't know what to do. Go back to verse 19. Exceeding greatness of his power towards you who believe according to his work and his power reserve. That same power you saw in Jesus when he was raised, when he ascended to a place that no other principality or power has even an inkling. Jesus is in charge of everything. And you're his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Don't panic. God can do it. Amen. You mind if I stop tonight? Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, even shortened our studies, for getting me through tonight, but also, Lord, that you would teach us, remind us, show us again who you are, and especially in terms of the work of your Holy Spirit, that you would convince us, Lord, that there's hope for us. There's power to be found at your feet. Power to be found in the obedience to your word. Power to be had in prayer and in our eyes looking up to that same spirit that now dwells in us. And that you might convince those that are here that they have so much to be thankful for. If tonight you don't know Jesus, you know what the Lord did? He brought you tonight by his spirit so that you might consider him as your savior. The Bible tells us not only are we all dead in sin, but we really have no offering we can make to appease God who set up the rules. The wages of sin is death, and we're sinners. We die. We die physically for sure, but here's the good thing. God has sent his son to redeem us so we don't have to die eternally. And the minute we ask our Jesus to be our Lord, our Savior, to forgive our sins, God will send his spirit into your life. And you'll begin to experience something that you've never experienced before. God at work in you to change you from the inside out.
Pastor Jacob Beelen with that closing prayer of invitation to give your heart to Christ right here and now. Let us know if you made that decision today, and we'll gladly help you on your way. We've been listening to a study taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. This has been the second half and conclusion of a two-part study. If you'd like to get the entire message, we do have that available for you. All you need to do to order, simply contact us and ask for study number 3674. It's always helpful for us to know the radio station that you're listening to, so be sure to mention those call letters when you get a hold of us. And as we journey through this book of Ephesians, which contains so many practical lessons for a Christian life, you may want to study through this book on your own. We have a resource that will help you do just that. It's our written Ephesians inductive study that will take you through on a daily basis, verse by verse, through this incredible letter that Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. You can use this resource as a daily devotional and a way to understand the doctrinal instruction that Paul gives through this letter. So to order the Ephesians inductive Bible study, or to get today's message, just dial our toll-free phone number at 866-88-GRACE. That's 866-884-7223. Again, that's 866-884-7223. Or if you'd like, you can order by mail. Just address your letter to Growing Through Grace, P.O. Box 1954, Whittier, California, 90609. And as always, we have this and all of our resources available for you online at growingthroughgrace.com. Again, just log on to growingthroughgrace.com. www.pastorjackabilan.com. Well, here's a way that you can view more of Pastor Jack's teachings at our church's YouTube page. You can find us at Morningstar CC. Again, that's at Morningstar CC. Once you're there, be sure to hit the subscribe button and the notification bell to be informed when we go live and when we post new messages. Once again, be sure to subscribe to our Morningstar Christian Chapel YouTube page to stay up to date with all of Pastor Jack's messages. And that's going to wrap it up, not only for today, but for this week. We do look forward to being with you again in our next program. So until then, as you daily walk with our Lord Jesus Christ, may you continue to grow in His grace. Growing Through Grace is a listener-supported ministry brought to you by Morningstar Christian Chapel in Whittier, California, the Calvary Chapel Outreach.